Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Kuf Chaf Aleph in Maseches Shabbos, the 183rd daf in Shas. We pick up a little bit in to the daf with a new Mishnah. Of course, Perek Kol Kisvei is discussing the halachos of how one should react to a fire on Shabbos, both in terms of saving objects. The last Mishnah had discussed the saving of food. And then the Mishnah had discussed preventing the spreading of the fire. And now our Mishnah continues on Kuf Chaf Aleph. Nachri Shebalachabos, if a Gentile comes along to extinguish, Ein Omrim Lo Kabei Va'al Tichbet, you should not tell him both in the affirmative or in the negative, Mipnei She'ein Shvisaso Aleihen, because there's no chiyuv for you to assure that the Gentile doesn't do work. But if a Jewish child comes to extinguish, ein shomin lo, you don't listen to him. In other words, you don't permit him on some level. Because the responsibility of every Jew is to make sure that a child, even a Jewish child, does not do malacha. On a simple level, the Torah Kedosha, in this week's parsha, we're in Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Yisro. In this week's parsha says, "Lo sasecha melacha ato vincha yitecha avdecha v'amoscha." So, this is how actually the Ramban explains the pasuk, that there is an obligation that we have to make sure that our children rest on Shabbos as well. Bezer Hashem, in our halacha topic from the daily daf, we will discuss what one is allowed or not allowed to have children do on Shabbos. There are different approaches amongst the Gedolei HaAchronim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami, Bidleika hitiru lomar kol mechabe eino mafsid. When there is a fire, we allowed. In order to understand the depth of what Rabbi Ami is saying, we need to explain the concept that our Mishnah introduced us with. Our Mishnah told us that you're not allowed to tell a Gentile to extinguish. Rashi explains on the Mishnah that the prohibition is amira l'nachri. Instructing a Gentile to do malacha is going to be prohibited. Rashi in Avodah Zarah on Daf Tezvav gives one explanation for what the prohibition is, while Rashi by us seems to say that the prohibition is he becomes your shliach. Rashi in the first Rashi on the Gemara. Whatever the reason that it's prohibited to instruct a Gentile to do malacha on Shabbos, says Rabbi Ami, however, a general statement will be acceptable. Bidleke tiru lomar lo, lomar, when it comes to a fire, he's allowed to say, kol mechabe eino mafsid, even if he's in front of a Gentile, Rashi explains, as long as he's not creating the imperative for the Gentile to put it out. Says the Gemara, name misayele, let us find the proof. Nachri sheba lechabos, you don't have to prevent them from putting out, but you're not supposed to tell them to put it out, and you're not commanded to make sure that they don't do malacha. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Deduces the Gemara. But you can say, whoever extinguishes, ein mafsid, will not lose out, as Rabbi Ami had suggested. Asks the Gemara, but we have a problem. Eima Seifa. But how are we going to reconcile this deduction with the Seifa? The Seifa says, Al techabe lo amrinan le. V'chol amechabe eino mafsid. Mi lo amrinan le. The Seifa says that we should not say to him, Al techabe, or we're not required to say to him, don't extinguish, which would indicate that we don't have to be megaladas, that we don't want him to put it out. However, as Rashi explains in Dibra Maschil al Techabe, if we were allowed to reveal our desire, then in the case of the fire that we wanted a Gentile to put it out, in such a case, then there would be no need for us to say, al Techabe lo amrinan le, because it would say that the only thing that one can't do is tell him to put it out, which would indicate that you don't have to, and you could be megaladas, and you don't need to tell him not to put it out. So once the Sefer says, Al techabe lo amrinon le, that would seem to indicate that no other form of Gilui Das would be acceptable. The only thing we don't have to tell him is Al techabe. But to tell him I want, in general, someone to put it out, that is mashma, that's not acceptable. Let's put it back into words of Gemara. Eima Sefer Al techabe lo amrinon le. It sounds like you also can't say chol mechabe ena mafsid, because there would be no need to say al techabe if you were allowed to say v'chol hamechabe. From the Reish and the Sefer, we can't deduce Rabbi Ami's chidush in either direction. Tan Rabbanan, ma'isem enafla d'leika b'chatzir shel Yosef ben Simoy. There was a fire in the courtyard of Yosef ben Simoy, b'sichin. Shichin is a place, and a fire broke out over there. Bo anshe Gistera, in the place of the people of Gistera, which in those days was an expression referred to the ruling officers, shel tzipari lechabos, they came to put it out. Mipnei she'apetropis shel melech hoya, because they were responsible for the finances of the king, and they were afraid that the fire would spread and damage something from the kingdom. Veloi Michan and Yosef ben Simoi did not allow them to put it out. Mepnei Kvod HaShabbos. V'naselo Neis, and a Neis happened. V'yardu Gisham V'kibo, and it put out the rain, put out the fire. Le'erev Shigur Kol Echad Mehen Shtei Sloin. Rabbi Yosef ben Simoi sent to every single one of the policemen or firemen, however you would describe them in those days, to slum, ula parkus, shebehen chamisha slum, and to the leader amongst them, 50, ukshamu chacham adavar amru lo yitzarach lekach, you didn't have to send them, shereisha ninu, nachri shebalachapros, ein omlo kabe ve'al techabe, you could have had them put out the fire, and you didn't need to discourage them, and get then go through this expense. In our Mishnah, we had learned that a parent is not allowed, or an adult is not allowed, to let a child put out a fire. The Gemara is medayik shamis mino. We hear from this, we could deduce from this, kotel ochal nevelos bezdin mitzuvin olav lahafrisho. This is a sugi in Yevamos on Kuf Yudalid that discusses that there is a responsibility. It's actually a machlokis in the Gemara, but we are now quoting the Manda Amar, who says that there is a responsibility for Bezdin to assure that children do not violate averos. Says our Gemara, just like, it didn't say specifically, we were not accurate in our translation, a parent, it just said a general, a child who comes to put out a fire, we don't listen to him. So what does that mean? That in general, all Jews have responsibility to make sure that a child does not do an avera. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, as many there in the Sugi Yevamos, disagree and say that we don't say Bezdin Mitzuvin Olav Lafrisho, but rather Rabbi Yochanan gives as we had originally translated, Bekatan Osel Das Aviv, that we're talking about a katan that is doing it with the affirmation of his father. In other words, his father is standing around and he's not protesting. So there, the parent is in violation, Shashvisaso Alehem, that he has to make sure that his children rest on Shabbos as well. Gabi Nachri, the Ka'avil Adayk Yisrael, Mishari. The Gemara asks, but if that would be so, then the parallel would be to a Gentile who's doing it with the Rishus of a Jew. Is that permissible? Are you allowed to have a Gentile do something with your Rishus on Shabbos a Malacha? So the Gemara says there's a difference between the two. Nachru the Daite Dinafshe Ovid. A Gentile, sometimes a Gentile is doing it for himself. For example, the Gentile lives in the house, he wants to put out the fire for himself, not because he works for the Jew or wants to do it on behalf of the Jew. Bezer Hashem and Halacha from the Daily Daf, we will elaborate on these Halachas of Katan Ha'ose L'das Aviv. The Gemara continues with a new Mishnah on 8 lines from the bottom. Kofin Ka'ar Al Gabe Aner B'Shvil She'Teloi Te'aches Bikora. You're allowed to turn over a plate on top of the fire in order that it doesn't cause the roof to catch fire. V'Al Tzoa Shel Katan, you're allowed to also turn over a plate on the excrement of a child, valakarav, and as well as a scorpion, shelo tishach, that he shouldn't bite. Amar Rav Yehuda, baisa b'al lefnei Rav Yochanan zakei be'erev, amar chashishani lo mechatos. That it was brought in front of, Rashi explains that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said that he was concerned that since he turned over, an individual turned over a dish to protect himself from the snake and captured the snake, in such a case, the snake was not dangerous, and therefore he was over the Yisur D'oraisa of Tzedek. Chashishani lo mechatos. Rav Yehuda Rav Yirmiyah Barav Rav Chanan Bar Rava Iklu Levei Ovin Diminishaika. These Amoraim went to the house of Ovin that was from the city of Nishaika or Nishikaya. V'le Rav Yehuda V'Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Aisil Puryasa. They brought for those two Amoraim, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yirmiyah a bed. Rav Chanan Bar Rava lo Aisilai. They didn't bring for him a bed, and he needed to sit on the ground, Rashi says. Ashkeche Rav Chanan found Maisni Le Libre. This is a classic case of Gemara where there are many, many, many pronouns. So here, Ashkeche means that Rav Chanan found Maisni Le Libre, that Ovin was learning to his son the following halacha, Valtsoa Shel Katan Mipnei Katan, that you're allowed to cover excrement of a child with a utensil due to the child, so that the child, Rashi explains, will not come to play and get dirty himself with the excrement. Amalei Ovin Shatya Masne Shtusei Libnei. Rav Chanan said that Ovin was teaching silliness to his son. Va'aloi hi atzma muchenes leklavim. The excrement is still shayich, could be used by dogs. It seems in those days dogs would eat the excrement of a child. And therefore it's not mukza. And for that reason, he'd be able to move it directly. And if you're going to retort and say, well, it wasn't poured beforehand, before Shabbos, and for that reason it's mukza. Vatanya, didn't we learn? Naharas Hamoshkin Mayonas Hanovim Harein Karagle Kol Adam. That the rivers that are running and the water that are inside of it, even though it wasn't shayach to you before Shabbos, nevertheless, despite the fact that yesterday it wasn't prepared in front of you, explains Rashi and Dibur HaMaskil Naharos halfway through, that since it is normal to expect water to flow through the river and have water that was not prepared for you before Yom Tov reach you on Yom Tov itself, so too over here, when it comes to the excrement of the child, it is expected that the child will have excrement, and it will be shayach, it will be something that will relate to the dog. Ve'ela heiche asnaya, what should the individual's condition be? In other words, what is the appropriate way to write it in the Mishnah? Eimal tzol shel tarnigolim mipnei katan. Rather, what we should have learned is not the excrement of a child, that Ovin had made a mistake about. That's how he translated the Mishnah. That's not correct. But rather, we're talking about the excrement of chickens in front of a katan, because that is muktzah. Because it's not normal for children to play with that, and a kelev as well will not use it, eat from it. Asks the Gemara, v'tepikle d'havi graf shel rei. But wait a second. Why don't we say that it would be muktzah because it is considered a, because it has no purpose, one thought on the one hand, and we said, well, it's something that is shayach to a kelev, or as Ovin had suggested, because the katan is going to get dirty. Asks the Gemara, there's another very important heter of muksa called graf shel rei. Something that is disgusting, lekavod Shabbos, one is allowed to move. So lechura, that should apply as well over here. Answers the Gemara, v'chitem graf shel rei agav mana in. Iu gufe lo, that maybe the only time there's a heter to move something that's disgusting is when it's part of a utensil, which was actually a case of graf shel rei. It's a potted, a utensil of pottery, as Rashi explains, and that was there to hold excrement, so that you're allowed to move the excrement because it's in this pot. However, iu gufe lo, but the excrement itself can't be moved. Hence, we needed the logic of oven, or as disagreed with by Rav Chanan, but his logic. Asks the Gemara, is that so? Vahu achbar, there was a mouse, dishtakach bispramaika de Ravashi. He was found in the spices of Ravashi. Va'amelahu, and he said, nikuta bitsusei, take it by its tail, vafgua, and throw it out. The Gemara is asking the following question. You don't need to turn the something over onto the onto the excrement. Just simply be metaltal it as a graf shorei. And a graf shorei itself you're allowed to move. So move it out. Answers the Gemara, ba'ashpa. We're talking about where the graf, the soa was in an ashpa. And in such an instance, there, it no longer is graf shorei. When is it a chisaron kavod abrius? When sitting in your living room, your dining room, your bedroom, then it's kavod abrius, then the chazal didn't make the gzeir of muksa. However, where it's ba'ashpa, then you don't have the heter kvod ha'shavs and graf shorei. Asks the Gemara, v'katan ba'ashpa my boile. Well, what was the katan doing hanging out in the garbage that he was concerned about? Answers the Gemara. Bechatzer, he was in the courtyard. Says the Gemara, in the courtyard, that's not a nice thing to have tzoa in your courtyard, in your backyard, your entrance to your house. Chatzer nami graf shorei, who would qualify as a graf shorei, says the Gemara, ba'ashpa shebechatzer. We're talking about a case where it was a garbage in the side of the courtyard. Gemara continues and analyzes the statement of the Mishnah that you're allowed to turn over a plate on top of the scorpion that's about that one is concerned is going to bite. We saw that some Tanoim weren't always concerned about the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at times was not concerned about that the scorpion was going to bite, and therefore he felt it was an Isur Daraisa, a fear of an Isur Daraisa of Chata. Some Rabbi Shulman Levi call Mazikin Eragim Shabbos. You're allowed to kill any animal or prey that will kill a person, that you're allowed to kill them on Shabbos. Matzah of Yosef. Yosef asked, your rule doesn't it seem to be consistent with another list that we have. Chamisha ne'erogim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to kill five things. Ve'eluhen, and these are the five. Zvuv sheba'aretz, a insect in the ground. Mitzrayim, from the land of Mitzrayim. In other words, those from the ground of Mitzrayim were particularly dangerous. Vitzira, and a certain flying wasp, sheba'ninre, that is found particularly in Nineveh. Va'akrov, Shebechadyav, and a scorpion from Chadyav, Vinocho Shebe Eretz Yisrael, and a snake in Eretz Yisrael, Vikelev Shote, and a wild dog. Bechol Makam, in all instances. So now, what emerges is, we ask on Rabbi Yoshua that says, Kol Mazayikin Ne'erogin, no, we listed very particular ones. Answers the Gemara, Ilem Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to say that it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we've already discussed in the past, the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, whether Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayiv or not. We define Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa as Rashi on Tzadi Gimel Amabez tells us that it means an individual is doing a Melacha to remove a negative as opposed to create a positive. Now, in this case, when you have the five that are running after you, so Rashi says that in the Havamina of the Gemara, these five are not running after you. So in this case, even if you're just simply removing the impediment, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should be chayiv, says the Gemara. So you have to say it's going according to Rabbi Shimon. Elav Rabbi Shimon. Vahani hu deshari achrini lo. Rabbi Shimon says that these five are permissible to remove the impediment, but others that are not a full impediment are not fully dangerous, you're not allowed to. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Uman Neimelon Dohamit Taratz Tehi, asks Rabbi Yirmiyah, how do you even know that this brisa is accurate? Rashi explains the only brises that we know are accurate are ones that were taught by Rabbi Chi and Rabbi Oshia. How do we know that this one was accurate? Dilma Mishabashti, maybe it's a mistake. Amar Rav Yosef, Ano Masninla Vusvinila Vano Mitaritznila. I was the one who taught it, I asked on it, and I explained what was going on. Beratzu acharav v'divrei hakol. We're talking about a case where the deadly animal is running after him, and once it's running after him, then it falls in the category of pikuach nefesh, and then even Rabbi Yehuda, who is mechayiv you on melacha shein tzurich legufa, will say that you're chayiv as well. Tani tana kamedu rava bar ravuna. There was a tana taught in front of Rav Ravuna. Hahoreg nechashim akravim b'shabbes ein ruach chasidim nochei menu. Somebody who kills the snakes and scorpions on Shabbos, chasidim are not going to be, are not happy with them. Amalei. So Rava Baravuna retorted, "Va'osin chasidim ein ruach chacham nochem mehem." And those chasidim, the chacham are not happy with them because you're allowed to kill them. Upliga de Ravuna. And the issue that they're arguing about revolves around an observation of Ravuna. De Ravuna chazi aluhu gav. Ravuna noticed an individual to kakotil zibura. He was killing this tzira, this dangerous wasp, on Shabbos, and Rabbi Huna was critical. Amalei, shlamtinu lekula, have you killed all of them? In other words, just because you kill one of them, you're not really protecting yourself. So the question is whether killing one nachash and akrav is considered a case of pikuach nefesh or not. The chasidim that were not nochei men who were following Rav Huna, and the chacham that were not happy with the chasidim, were disagreeing with Rav Huna. Tana Rabbanan, zdamnu lo nechashim akrovim. If there are snakes and scorpions, hargon. If the fellow killed the scorpion that came to get him on Shabbos, so then it's a simin shen zdamnu lo lahargon, that in Shemayim they gave him the zchus to kill it. To save someone's life on Shabbos is a zchus. Lohargan, if whatever the reason he was not successful to kill it or didn't kill it for any particular reason, biyodua, so then in such a case, shinizdamu lohargo, that he was supposed to kill it, vinasalo nes minashamayim, so then in such a case, a nes was done from shamayim, that even though the individual was supposed to be killed, as Rashi has in his Girsa, Laharog Oso, that he was supposed to be killed by the scorpion or the snake, and a nes was done for, to him from Shemaim. Amrali Ula Vitema Rabba Barchana Amra Biochan Binishufin Bo. He was slanted and poised to strike, so then in such a case you should kill the scorpion. There was a time that someone fell in the base of Medrash. And there was a Yehudi that got up and killed the snake in the base of Medrash on Shabbos. Rebbe commented, the one who was pogeya in the snake, there should be others like it. Ibailu. The Bnei Yeshiva had a shayla. Pagobo kayotze bo. The shapir of it? That it was good? Or the meaning of kayotze bo means that he's just like the snake. Pogabo, the one who was pogan, say kayotze bo, he's like the snake. Tashmad, Rabbi Abba Braid, Rabbi Chia Barabba, Rabbi Zeir Havi Yosvi, Ikla Deve Rabbi Yanai. They were sitting, Rabbi Yanai came to visit them. Nothing, Nilsam Minayu. They started speaking and learning. What's Allah about killing them on Shabbos? He said, I kill at Sira. Nachash v'akrav, lo kol shekein. Certainly, a nachash and akrav. Says the Gemara, Dilma lefi tumo. Maybe he was just saying this. Maybe if it's only when he's walking and he doesn't have to change his pace and he could step on it to kill it. Dama Rav Yehuda is similar to what Rav Yehuda had taught, roke, that if they're spit on the ground, darsa lefitumo, and we don't look at it as if he's going to make a ditch in the ground or spread about the dust in the ground, as Rashi explains, even though he's doing the malacha mimareach, because that is not his intention. Vamrav Sheshes Nachash Darsel Lufi Tumo. That as he's walking, he's allowed to do it. Vamrav Kitna Akrav Darsel Lufi Tumo. The same with the scorpion. Abba Bamarta Duhu Abba Barmin Yumi. Abba Bamarta, who is also the same person, Abba Barmin Yumi. Havi Maske Bey Devei Resh Galusa. He was involved with money with the Resh Galusa, Zuzi money. Aisua, they brought him to the house of Resh Galusa, the Kometzarele, and they were torturing him over some type of business transaction, maybe because he had not paid back the money. Havishadi Roka, he was spitting in front of them. Amalu Resh Galusa, the Resh Galusa said to him, Aisu mana sechifo alayu. Amalu, Abba Mar Marti said to them, Lo, you don't need it. Lo tzrichasa, you don't have to cover up. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yehuda, this is what Rabbi Yehuda had taught. Rok Darsa Lefei Tumo, you're allowed to walk on it as you're walking, even if you're going to be over Mimareach, of flattening out. Amar Luhu, so when the Resh Galusa heard this, that he knew something, Tzur Vamei Rabban, who is one of the Rabban Shavkua, let him go. Be'ezer Hashem, we conclude our daf in Pshat on Kuf Chaf Aleph. Right now, we stopped two lines from the bottom, and now we're ready to go. Shlomo Zalman just walked in, right? And we're ready to go to Halacha section, Shlomo Zalman? He's shaking his head, no. First, Abba should talk to you. You wanted to talk to Abba? Yes? What do you want to talk to Abba about? Okay, we're going to find something for Shlomo Zalman to play, and then Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to go to the Halacha section. This concludes Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph in Maseches Shabbos. Be'ezras Hashem Yisparech, today's Halacha topic from Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph is a beautiful one, a complex one, a practical one, and we will make reference to other instances where we've discussed it, because in no way are we going to be able to, in our 10-15 minutes from Halacha in the daily Daf, cover the entire important topic. And that is stopping children from doing Isurim. In our Gemara, on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, the Gemara describes a Bachlokis that appears in Yevamis as well, in Kuf Yudalid, of whether there is a Chiyuv of Bezdin to stop children from violating Isurim. There are two opinions in this regard. One says that there isn't a Chiyuv on Bezdin, and the other says that there is. It is quite clear from the Sugi and Yevamis over there, as well as what's clear for us is always to go straight to the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Mem Gimel, that we paskin ein bezdin mitzuvin lahafrisho. If a child is eating nevelos, so then bezdin is not required to stop him. However, aval aviv mitzvah ligar bo lahafrisho, a father has to stop him from doing an isur doraisa. However, the Mechaber goes on to say, but to feed a child in Isur D'oraisa, that everybody agrees, is also even though we paskin ein bezdin mitzuvin lafrisha. We just read the words of the Mechaber. However, the Ramah has a dissenting position, which is based on our daf. Tosfos, in Dibra Amaschul Shema Mino, says that all of these halachos only apply to a child that has not reached the age of chinuch. If a child has already reached the age of chinuch, so then in such a case, there is a responsibility for everybody to stop the child from doing the isur. Now, of course, this requires tremendous chachma. It's more important even to listen to shiurim in chinuch abonim and chinuch in general than knowing all the halachos of stopping children from doing isurim. It requires tremendous tact, insight, and so on. And before a person acts, it would be highly recommended that just like we ask a shayla in halacha, we should also be asking questions in shalom bayis and chinuch as well. And therefore, a lot of forethought should go into mitzvah lahafrisho to be able to do it properly. The shita of Tosfos is that there is a chiyuv on everybody to stop a child who has reached the age of chinuch. Now, this is highly debated. The Beis Yosef does not accept this opinion of Tosfos. However, it makes its way into the Ramah, and The Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan Zayin of Shin Mem Gimel says that the Chai Adam says that the Isurei Deoraisa, we should be Choshesh for this opinion. So the big guns, the Mishnah Brura and the Chai Adam, both say that there is a mitzvah to be mechanich, another person's child, when it comes to Isurei Deoraisa. I find this opinion actually quite inspiring, and that is that even though there isn't a chiyuv of Bezdin, Mitzuvah Nafrisho, nevertheless there's a chiyuv, it seems, as chinuch. And the tremendous lesson of this is that the chinuch of Klal Yisrael's children applies to every single one of us. And that is that if there's a child that's being mechal Shabbos in Iowa, then it's a chisaron in our chinuch. It's a chisaron in our chinuch of us mechanchim in Beit Shemesh, in Yerushalayim, in New York City. It's a responsibility for all of us, the chinuch of all children in Klal Yisrael. And for that reason, there would be a responsibility for us to do our best that all Jewish children get an appropriate chinuch. It should be noted that the Rashba, in a beautiful Rashba in Yevamos, disagrees. However, this is the psak lahalacha, which emerges from our daf within Tosfos. Now, there are many nuances to these halachos. What we started with is from what emerges from the sugya. I'd like to make another couple of points. However, we will not be able to expound on the entire scope of it. We did give a set of shiurim in the Grus Kala, three shiurim on the halachos of Ktanim on Shabbos. There's a highly recommended book by Rav Simcha Bin Mkom. I think it's one of the best of all of his books in halacha, called Children in Halacha, which has fantastic references and fantastic analysis. There are very different customs, as we discussed in the third shiur in the Grus Kola, in the halachos of Ketanim on Shabbos, Chasidim, and the Litvisha world. Probably, if there's one area where they have disparate positions, it's probably here. I'll just whet your appetite by saying that both the Chidush Arim and my mother, who grew up in the house of Gerach Hasidim, describe that the children would carry on Shabbos without even in an area that didn't have an Erev. Particularly, they would carry the Cholent from the bakery. We were once upon a time poor, a lot poorer than we are, Baruch Hashem, today. And in those days, most people did not have their own ovens, and they would store their cholent on Shabbos morning in the bakery, and then they would bring it home. So for the Hasidim tend to have certain leniencies of the halachos. As we've discussed, the Achiezer strongly disagreed with them. Actually, the Achiezer develops the Shita of Reb Chaim. The crux of the issue is we have to be much more machmir according to Reb Chaim and the Achiezer because of this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, it says, Lo sasachom locha ato vincha. Reb Chaim understood, and the Achiezer concurs, that any time a parent sees the child doing a malacha, and it's clear that the parent acquiesces to the malacha, so then in such a case, when it comes to Yisurei D'oraisa, the parent himself has been in violation of Sas L'cha Melacha. However, there are others who disagree that say that there isn't an independent Yisur Alo Sas L'cha Melacha to Vincha, but rather it's based on the Yisur and Yivamas of Lo Sachilam, and that is feeding children Yisurim. And then, according to those Rishonim and Poskim, there is more leeway. This is just a general reference to the picture. We have those three Shiurim that you could listen to on that. As far as feeding children macholos asuras, so there, as the Mechaber said in Shin Mem Gimel, there you're dealing with something that's much, much worse. And that is the iser of los achilim safinam biyadayim, to feed a child macholos asuras is asur, even if the child hasn't reached the age of chinuch. There is, however, one exception to the rule according to the Rashba again. And that is that the Mechaber says, the Mechaber does not pass like this, Rajba, that it's Aser la'achilo biyadayim afilu iser derabonan, afilu midivrei sofrim. However, the Ber Halacha points out in Dibar Maschil midivrei sofrim that the Rajba and the Ran disagree. They are of the opinion that an iser derabonan can be fed to a child. The Ber Halacha points out that a simple reading in Shulchan Aruch is that it would as well be prohibited to give a child an iser derabbanan, which therefore makes the comment of Rav Nevensal Shlita on this expression of the Ber Halacha an important chidush that we can rely on, even though it is a big kula. And that is, the question becomes, how is it that we could be lenient with children in giving them milk after meat? At the end of the day, the Mechaber seems to be machmir on Isurei Derabbanan. Nevertheless, Rav Nevensal seems to go with this Rajba and the Ran, and that's, again, if the Mishnah Brura did not bring down this Tzad to be Maker, which he seems to be willing to run with, Ayin Sham, in such a case, Rav Nevensal says, Yesh Lahakel Ma'od, you could be very lenient, b'yelet katan, with a small child, we're talking about a child under the age of chinuch, b'achilas chol v'achareya basar, with eating milchiks after fleshiks, ufi gadlo lahagdil revach hazman, and as he gets older to adjust the time, but one does not need to be machmir on the child. I'd just like to conclude, I was a little bit emotional before, so instead of piling up more halachos, maybe just to conclude with another beautiful story that brings out how Rav Nevensal has the koach to be mekel, so lenient over here, where it's actually seems to be against the simple reading of the Mechaber. However, the Mishnah Brura quotes the kula of the Rajba and the Ran that by Isurei Derabbanan you could even be saifina and be a daim, you could even feed the child. One, it's been told to me by Rav Chizkiyo Nevensal Shlita that when he grew up as a child, the Rebbetzin used to always say to Rav Nevensal, eat milchiks, drink milk. And he thought that was something that was normal, that a mother always had to remind her husband, the father, to eat milchiks. It turns out that there was something that was a lot deeper to the story. It seems that many, many, many years ago, Rav Nevensal was slightly nichshel in eating milchiks within 6 hours. I would imagine it was probably in the fifth, fourth hour. He had lost track, or he had forgotten, and he was, in his own mind, nichshel in basar b'chalav, in not chas v'chalav d'isur d'oraisa, but the custom of waiting a full 6 hours. From that moment on, he was not able to bring himself to eat milchiks after fleishiks until someone would tell him that he was milchiks. Until that time, he just simply would not eat milchiks. The pacha, the fear, the way I understand it, he has a tremendous love of digduke mitzvos, the tremendous pacha of chas v'chalila being nichshal on that iser derabbanan again caused him to almost be paralyzed, that he couldn't eat milk after he had eaten meat, that he was afraid that his calculation would be off. Hence, the Rebbetzin would always say, avigdor, drink milk, eat milchiks. That was the sign that he knew, he trusted that his wife would come up with the correct calculation, and only then he would go days without eating milchiks again until someone told him bepem mole. Of course, this is a chumrah that he had taken upon himself, but shows the dikduke mitzvos. When a person is so machmir on themselves, with all bechol digdakeu proteo, then that is the same individual. Hapesha osar hu hapesha hiter, the individual himself who has such digduke mitzvos, he is the one who has the koach to tell us that we can be makel because he understands the chomer of the avera, and he said yesh lahakel maod bielad katan b'achilas chalav achrei basar. There's so much to say about this sugya. However, you can find it, as we mentioned, in the Shiurim on Simin Shin Mem Gimel, three Shiurim on the Halachos of Ketanim. And if someone would like in English, a fantastic book, Rav Simcha Ben Kom did an excellent job. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the Siyata Deshmaya, that will be Zocha to be Mechanech, all the beautiful children of Klal Yisrael, B'derech HaYosher. We should be Mekayim The pasuk in this week's parsha of Losasach Amlacha Ato Vinchavitecha. A good Shabbos.